Always Hold On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I'm joined again by Nancy Petru. What's up, Nancy?
Hey there. I'm doing pretty great. How about you?
I'm great. This is, getting into the end of season two now of Smallville, one of Smallville's best seasons. And, we had some hiccups along the way, but I feel like we're in a stretch of good episodes here to close out season two. And, this is completing your Home Improvement 2-pack for this season, Nancy, because if you recall, listeners, Nancy was last on for Dichotic with Jonathan Taylor Thomas. And now she's back for Witness with Zachary Ty Bryan.
Yep.
So what is it? Seriously, what was the third kid's name?
Oh, like Taryn Noah Smith.
Yes,
I think.
I was going to say Noah something.
No.
Taryn Noah Smith.
Boy, I reached way back into my memory banks for that one.
Well, if we had the same conversation last time, forgive us. It's been a while since we recorded that episode. Why do all the Home Improvement kids have three names? Are they like assassins in history? Because if you think about it, all the big assassinators in history, they got three names, right? John Wilkes Booth.
Lee Harvey Oswald.
Lee Harvey, thank you. I make this point, and then I...
I figured that's where you were going.
And then I
that.
Say one thing. James Earl Ray, who killed Martin Luther King.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure there's more. But then, the X-Files, because that's another fan that Nancy and I share, they took the same approach for all of these, serial killers and guys over the course of the X-Files.
So true.
Yes. Luther Lee Boggs from Beyond the Sea. What was the guy from Paper Hearts? What was his name?
Oh, no.
Oh, was it was it Roach or something?
Yes, yes. That sounds familiar.
There was that one.
Curses, you told me, now I can't. I can't remember.
But they took, the episode Pusher, who is played by Chloe's dad, by the way.
That was him.
I know, right? Just blew your mind, didn't I?
Kind of.
Those X-Files episodes were from before Smallville. So I have a whole new respect for Chloe's dad, because I watched Smallville before I saw those particular episodes that he's in. He's in a couple episodes. Oh,
Robert Patrick Modell. That's what it is.
Yes, Robert Patrick, ironically, Modell. Little did they know. Anyway, so names like that. It's the three-name thing. I find it fascinating. I don't know what it is. But anyway, we have Zachary Ty Bryan. Sadly, Smallville was not able to secure the ever-popular, ever-working Taylor Noah Smith. Right off the bat, I think this episode and Zachary Ty Bryan in it is better than Dichotic and Jonathan Taylor Thomas in that episode. What are your thoughts on that?
God, yes. I completely agree. It's funny, though, because, isn't JTT the one who's supposed to be the, quote, better actor?
Yeah, because he was in, I'll Be Home for Christmas and all, all these other movies.
The voice of young Simba.
Of course.
A huge role, right?
He did more mainstream, but I just think this episode... Zachary Ty Bryan was a better fit for this part than Jonathan Taylor Thomas was for that part. And even so, this part was better than that part, because the episode, they really didn't make it about Zachary Ty Bryan's return to television, right? Like they did. They made such a big deal about Jonathan Taylor Thomas, and they liked him so much. He was in the episode twice, right? With two of them. So I just feel like they said, you know what? This guy is famous from another show, but he could have been any guest star, really. They didn't make a big deal out of it, and I think that's what worked. They played to his strengths, no pun intended, since he has super strength in this episode, and I think it came off very well. Now, did you laugh that he's a baseball player?
Oh, yes.
because Lance and I always said, you know what? This is Travis in Smallville.
I'm not surprised. He does sort of bear, well, not really, because I guess, what's his name? When he plays Brad in Home Improvement, he's into football or something, right?
Yeah.
He's always Mr. Sports.
He's
so
always
I thought
the dumb
that
jock,
was appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when I saw that he was, I laughed at it with being baseball. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that's a little less obvious than football or something. I don't
right.
know.
Right. Now, well, listeners, Nancy's husband, Travis, is one of our closer friends, and we all went to high school together, and he was on the high school baseball team. So blonde guy, white guy, it was like, okay, this is Travis in Smallville. But Travis never took performance-enhancing kryptonite, just for the record.
He did not. Yeah, he wasn't huffing it.
So this episode, it was from 2003. This is like the steroid era of baseball, and they had a couple lines in there. I was like, oh, they were trying to tie this in. I completely forgot about that. I was like, way to try to be topical, I guess, Smallville. But anyway, It was trying, as Smallville often does. Yeah, this episode, I think it gets kind of lost in the shuffle. Everyone remembers that Jonathan Taylor Thomas is on Smallville. Nobody talks about Zachary Ty Bryan. So That's kind of the idea with you being on both these. I thought it'd be fun to compare, contrast, and talk about them both. Now, you have been catching up on other episodes of Smallville as well, Nancy.
I have been.
So I'm particularly interested in your opinion on Precipice, the previous episode to this. Having a female perspective, what did you think of that episode?
I feel like, how long does that lady sheriff stick around? Because I really don't like her.
She is around for a long time.
Ugh. Does she stay the same, or does she have any kind of character arc?
She dies.
Oh, that's great. But she stays for a long time.
And she has an epic one-liner when she dies, and it's so funny. And I'm not going
to
spoil it here. I'm going to make everyone keep watching and listening.
Yep. Okay. I guess I wasn't expecting the, like, Helen, creepy stalker. What's that dude's name?
Paul. His name's Paul.
Paul. There we go. I just kept forgetting because his eyes are so creepy. I thought the lawsuit against Clark was going to be the main focus of the episode. I don't know why I wasn't expecting anything else. So if the minute that this dude shows up, I was like, nope, creep radar going way off. Every even decent dude would have been like, no, you need a restraining order. Like,
well, my favorite creepy moment. Oh, I mean, he's creepy throughout the episode, but my favorite creepy moment is when her car won't start, and then she looks still up. He's in the sun. He's in the window. He's like, you always had bad luck with cars.
So creepy.
I just didn't. Ultimately, I give the episode a C+ because and that's actually higher than I thought, because when I was looking at Precipice, I was like, oh, this is an awful episode. This is down there with the Redux. It's terrible. But then when I was I liked it a lot more. You know, I enjoyed it. It was like an enjoyable, you know, 45 minutes of time. So I'm like, okay, this went from like a D to a C+ for me. So to me, that's like a win. But then looking at like some of the score, it got a higher grade than this on IMDb. Superman Homepage gave that one a 5 out of 5, right? I mean, this one a much lower grade. We'll get to that at the end. But I was just very shocked to see most people really liked it. But my biggest problem though, was the resolution to the Clark Lana story.
That's fair, because that was barfy. I was waiting for that to be better, and it was actually really nothing happened with a cheesy one-liner.
The answer to violence is, let's beat up the guy who beat us up. It's like, that's apparently the message that Superman always has. If you recall Superman 2, right, when he loses his powers, he gets beat up by this guy at a diner, right? And so when he gets his powers back, what does he do? He goes back to the diner and beats the guy up. And, you know, as a kid and a young person, I was like, yeah, Superman, good for you, man. That's such a great scene. It's like putting a guy in his place and that kind of thing. But I feel there are other ways to go about it than, oh, I have superpowers. Let me go pick on this guy who I know will try and beat me up and will hurt himself in the process. Like, that is some bad morals. Although I quote the end of Superman 2 all the time. I quote everything, as you know. I quote everything all the time. But that's one of that's true. Like, if ever I'm like at the gym or people come in, hey man, you look like you lost weight, like I will do the Christopher Reeve thing he does at the end of Superman 2. He's like, I've been working out, and then like do the little arms in the air and all that. That's what I say every time. And occasionally there'll be someone around who knows what I'm talking about.
This order's to go. I'm terribly sorry about all the damage, sir. Oh, I've been working out.
You know, that's funny you say that, because that was not why I didn't like that resolution. I mean, I agree that it was stupid of Clark to get involved in the first place in that altercation beyond what he'd already done. Like, you didn't need to go out there and, you know, throw your macho weight around and try to threaten these guys don't care about you. Like, you can, I don't know. That was stupid. But at the end, it didn't even occur to me that Lana, like, punching that guy or beating him up with her amazing roundhouse kick. What? That didn't strike me as wrong, because I kind of agreed with her when she's like, well, if the law's not going to help, then what are you going to do? I didn't think too hard about the Lana part, because I was too busy thinking that, like, the whole Helen scene being beat up by this guy who was, like, stalking her was genuinely, like, really scary.
No, the Lex, as they often do, even in Smallville's quote-unquote worst episodes, because this isn't, as I found, it wasn't one of the worst.
Yeah.
But the Lex story's really elevated. I just didn't know what their angle was in that episode. Like, it seemed to be like, okay, guys, this is the domestic violence episode, right? Without
Yeah, I was like, oh, I didn't know that's what we were watching.
It's a two-for-one. Okay. Like, this episode could have been an episode of Law and Order, right? Especially
for real. See, until Helen says to Paul, like, well, you know, I broke up with you because I heard that you beat your ex-wife or whatever. I was like, oh, because I wasn't sure if this was going to be domestic violence or if this was going to be like Scully running from like Donnie Faster. You know what I mean? Like, I just couldn't tell which way that was going to go because he looks like a serial killer.
A far superior episode of The X-Files.
But I wasn't sure. Is like, are we in like creepy territory? Like, which way?
Right, right. No, yeah, I was just, you know.
Yes.
I think they might have overplayed the, like, okay, let's do the Lana domestic abuse and the stalker ex-boyfriend with Helen in the same episode. Like, spread that stuff around. I think that this episode was just, it was a PSA short for being an after-school special on domestic violence. It feels like.
I so agree.
Anyway.
Yeah, I hated that lady sheriff. That was my main takeaway from this.
Oh, she's going to be around for a while. She lasts until middle of season 5. So.
Oh, my gosh, that's so long. Okay, thanks for telling me.
But I'll keep an eye on that. I might get you on that episode where she dies.
Yes, please.
Since you've expressed such a strong dislike of her.
I would love to see her meet her end with her epic one-liner.
Oh, well, we'll find out in about 3 years. 3 years of the showtime. It won't take us that long. We'll see.
I was about to say, wow, all right then.
We'll see. So this episode, we're talking about this podcast, Witness.
Witness!
To quote Ken Biller from Smallville, The Official Companion, Season 2 by Paul Simpson, available wherever books are sold, Witness went through a real long gestation. The original idea and why it was called Witness... was that Clark witnessed a crime. Brilliant insight there, thank you. He goes on to say, it was similar to the one that was in the final episode, but his problem became, how can I come forward and say I witnessed this crime? How can I explain to the police that I was standing out in the middle of the road with no car or anything at 2 o'clock in the morning? It was a superhero problem, getting the bad guys without revealing his identity. He made an anonymous tip, and it built to a moment in the courtroom, which was about whether Clark was going to testify or not. But the story kept changing, and it became an episode about three guys with kryptonite poisoning who can beat up Clark. You know, that's all true, and I guess hearing the original concept, it does sound a little more fascinating. But I find episodes like this and Heat, they really capture, like, what Smallville is all about. Like, young Clark Kent in high school with superpowers, stuff's going on, he has to deal with it. Like, and they're both written by Mark Verheiden, who's one of my favorite writers of Smallville, and he actually went on to write for a lot of genre shows. He went on to write for Battlestar Galactica, Constantine, Daredevil. He's actually a producer on those shows. He worked for Heroes as well. He's got a lot of genre credit in my book, and a lot of it started back here with Smallville. So I just really liked this episode, and I was interested to, like, see... The pulse was kind of lukewarm at best in the reception as well. And yes, and I'm seeing a theme here now. This is like a third episode in a row there's been a gang of bullies. Like I don't know what was in the water at the writing room. There was Precipice. There was the college jocks. The episode before that was another trio of high school jocks. Although these guys, this episode, I think were the best trio of the three. Of this trio... of bullies that we've seen three episodes in a row. Visitor, Precipice, and now Witness.
Witness!
I feel like these guys are, like, the most realistic, dare I say, even though they had superpowers and the other ones didn't. Like, I can believe, like, some jerk, like, Zachary Ty Bryan plays here, credited as Zachary Bryan, by the way. I don't know if you noticed that, but I felt
uh-oh,
like...
Uh-oh, he already realized that he was... starting to be passé, so he took out that middle name.
Trying to be more adult? Like, anyway, at least he didn't go by, like, ZT Bryan. I can see this guy picking on a guy like Tom Welling's Clark Kent, even though he's, like, a foot taller than him, because in Visitor, a couple episodes back, one of these bullies, like, literally has to get on his tiptoes to intimidate Clark. I'm like, what are you doing, man? He's, like, 6 inches taller than you.
You can't do that.
But anyway, cool. I like the idea of their original concept there. And I'm shocked they didn't, like, do that. And again, with this idea, I mean, they had to do 217, 218 episodes of Smallville. You think they would... They copy so many ideas. These other ones, they never did. Like, I'm like, why didn't they go back there? That's a great idea. I wish they would have tried to do this whole courtroom thing with Clark again later on down the line. I don't know why they didn't. But, I mean, for whatever reason, they didn't.
Oh, really? And, they never do that?
Not in that capacity. Not that I can recall.
It's too bad. But okay.
But for what it is, this episode, I enjoyed it for what it is. You know, you gotta judge these things on what they are, not what they were supposed to be. So, let's get into the nitty-gritty now.
Yeah, let's do it.
Witness.
Witness!
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 my God, what happened?
I saw one of the hijackers. He goes to our school. And I followed him to the old foundry. Before I could do anything, they jumped me.
Clark, you still couldn't stop him?
No. I think it has something to do with refined kryptonite. They had a huge amount of kryptonite bars with the same ones that were in Lionel's safe. That's what they stole from the truck.
Clark, what would they be doing with kryptonite?
They're melting it down and inhaling it. That's what's giving them incredible strength.
Oh, Jonathan, we have to bring in the police.
Yeah.
Don't you understand? The police can't do anything.
Clark.
Dad, they threw me into a blast furnace. They overpowered me. If there was kryptonite in there, I wouldn't be here now.
But we can't let our concern about your secret intimidate us into silence.
Witness is the 20th episode of Smallville's second season. It aired on April 29th, 2003. It was written by Mark Verheiden and directed by Rick Wallace. Now, as I mentioned, Mark Verheiden had written Dichotic as well. So I know.
Wow, really? Okay, so maybe he leveled up his skills in between this time.
I've scrolled back through his IMDb. It doesn't look like he worked on Home Improvement, but maybe he was just a big fan back then. He's like, man, if I ever work for a TV show, I gotta write for those guys. I gotta write for those Taylor kids. Anyway, so that's Verheiden. And Rick Wallace, the director, this is his second and last directorial stint on Smallville. He directed Nocturne back at the beginning of season two. And that was a very atmospheric episode. And I think this one is very well directed as well. There's a lot of night photography. They're out on the road at night. They're in the furnace room. So a lot of good imagery here. And, you know, last week's episode, Precipice is pretty dark as well. That was a guy who directed, off the top of my head, Thomas Wright, I believe was his name. He directed some episodes of The X-Files and Millennium. So Thomas J. Wright, I looked it up as I was talking.
Okay.
And I was right. I was right about it being Thomas Wright. So the episode opens up, and Clark is at the Talon with Lana, and they're talking about some equestrian competition because, you know, let's not forget, Lana is into horses. I always forget that she's into horses until they bring it up. But Clark has been helping her get ready for it. She's talking about how she's excited that Henry Small, she's going to invite him. Now, Henry Small is her biological father.
Right.
This is his last episode. Did you
really? Yeah. I was going to ask about that. Okay. That just makes me hate that resolution even more.
Doesn't it though? That he is the, I mean, maybe I should save that to the end, but anyway, guys,
yeah, we'll talk about it then.
But he is one of a long list of characters who appear in season two, never to be seen again. Lana's going to invite him and his wife, who is not her mother, by the way. So there's lots of drama to be strummed from that across this episode, but to this competition. So that introduces this whole, like, oh, okay, we might see Henry Small again, because they made such a big build up to his character. And he had, I think, like one solid episode where, like, you know, that he's in, and he's played by Patrick Cassidy. He was in Lois and Clark as Lex Luthor's son for a few episodes.
Okay.
And he's, you know, he has a long list of IMDb. So he's a legitimate actor. He's not just like a random day player they got to play Lana's dad for a couple episodes. Like, this guy is legit. So I am surprised that they made such a big deal. They cast, not a name actor, but a decent enough actor. Didn't give him much to do, and then wrote him off with, like, almost no resolution whatsoever. In fact, like, a hanging, like, promise of more to come with nothing.
Yes.
So, like, I just don't understand that. But anyway, like you said, we should probably save that for later. But he was in a total of, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 episodes plus 6 if you count Redux, where we see his picture. So,
wow.
And again, talking about, considering how they wrote him off here, makes me think back to my conversation with Tony Black for the episode Suspect. He should have been the guy that shot Lionel Luthor in that episode and then gone to jail. And I'm like, oh man, well, that's the end of Henry Small. At least it would have sucked for Lana to have, like, oh, I found it. I found my real father, and he's a murderer. You know, that would have, or attempted murder, right? That would have sucked, but at least it would have been a resolution, and you would know where he went, and it wouldn't be like, hey, whatever happened to Henry Small? But anyway. Oh,
so true.
So, Clark and Lana are talking about this, and who comes in to the talent but Chloe? She is not pleased with Clark, because he has skipped out on an assignment.
Some article that she wanted him to write.
Yeah, so she had to blow up the font on the menu to 60, which she's upset that the student body is going to get a good laugh at it. It's like, Okay,
she
Clay.
Really? I really questioned that decision. Is she not the editor of the paper?
She's the editor and the only person who works for the paper, to my
mind. Right. Did you not have one rerun article from, like, the year before or something that you could have put there? Like, it seems so contrived. It's like they were just spoiling for a way to, like, let her boil over about this.
Well, the thing with the torch, and I know, I beat it like a dead horse, I know, but there should be more people to work on this paper. There should be a teacher who supervises it. It should not come out every day, which it seems to. And Chloe, the sophomore, should not be the editor, nor should she have been the editor when she was a freshman. The entire construct of the school newspaper, the Smallville Torch, is completely incorrect. And I feel like, look, I know that it's not about accuracy. It's not like, well, this is in real life. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about, They could have tweaked it a little bit to make it a little more realistic, had a character you saw maybe two or three times a season who was her boss, right, who can teach her what it's like to work for a Perry White down the road, right?
yes.
And then have, I don't know, some other characters who just pass it. Again, I go back to Community, and I know it's a comedy, but that show did such a brilliant job about having these background characters, like, you know, Starburns and Magnitude and, you know, Neil.
Pop.
Yeah.
Yes. Whole thing.
Leonard, you know, just all these guys, mm-hmm. right? And I'm not, again, it's a half-hour comedy. I know it's different. But this
right.
is, Smallville is a show where you need a stable of teenagers to be poisoned by kryptonite and get superpowers on a regular basis. What better way to introduce them by having a staff at the Smallville Torch that you could, like, pull from? Because we're never going to see these guys in class. That's been established. Like, if it's not the gym or the biology class, we're not going to see them in class because somebody realized the 26-year-old Tom Welling would look ridiculous and a little high school desk, so they decided not to do that. And I get it, but we get all these problems.
That never occurred to me.
yeah, I know, right? so at least they had the foresight about it. But all that to say, you know, it's awkward in a good way, because Chloe has a legitimate beef with Clark. Like, if he's a member of the school newspaper, and he had an assignment, yes. and he didn't do it, maybe she'd done it, and he clearly just did it to do something with Lana. And he's like, don't make this about Lana. It's like, well, I'm not. I'm making it about you. You've made
totally
it about Lana.
Chloe's side.
Oh,
he's
absolutely.
Being such a little brat.
Like, I don't know anyone who would, like, the ship of the show is Clark and Lana, right? But
sure.
who would agree with Clark in this situation? But Lana's kind of back there watching them argue, and she's like, oh, because she knows. She knows that it's like,
yes, she does.
She's the reason. So she's like, oh, I'm going to go.
Bye.
and then basically, Chloe says, well, Clark, you know, if this isn't a priority to you, you should just quit. And he's like, well, maybe I will. And she's like, oh, he quit. Oh, yeah.
yeah.
Didn't expect him to do that. But we never really saw Clark write for the paper much anyway. So I don't really, I wish they would have, like, Smallville in general, like, before and after this episode, like, I wish we would have seen more of his journalism skills develop, as it were, because they don't really take advantage of that. They do very, as with everything on Smallville, it's an extremely slow burn, okay, about developing these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We cut to at night, it's a dark, dark backcountry road, and these three mysterious guys with crossbows come out.
Oh, I started laughing. I was like, okay, masked, and then it panned down to what they were holding. Yeah. I was like, you're kidding me. I'm like, oh, they're gonna do a tripwire thing or something. Nope, they're just gonna turn around and fire their arrows, who have armor-piercing heads, what, into the back of the truck? Like, I just started laughing.
Much better ways to crash cars, as we've seen many time on Smallville, right? I thought they were gonna do the whole Joker thing from The Dark Knight, you know, like,
yes,
but they pan up, so you see their crossbows or whatever they are, their bowcasters, right? No, their crossbows, and they pan up, and we see they're wearing these alien masks. And what did this make you think of, Nancy?
Oh, I totally thought of the X-Files. I don't know if I was supposed to, but
well, it's just kind of a weird choice for a mask. I of course thought of Jose Chung's From Outer Space, which is my favorite
that
episode of
That is what
X-Files.
I was thinking of, yeah.
Because that is my favorite scene, because in my friend Tony Black's podcast, The X-Cast, they do this 5 questions of X, and they ask you, like, what is your favorite scene, like, a favorite moment of the series? And
yep.
My favorite scene in The X-Files is the opening of that episode where it's like a classic alien abduction situation. Mm-hmm. You think it is anyway, like these two, like, young people in a car, and the classic gray alien walks up to them and all this stuff. But then another spaceship shows up, you know, and
yeah.
that's the real alien. And the gray aliens we think of are just guys in costumes.
Yes.
And that's like, this is the X-Files to me. I love this. But anyway, that's what that made me think of, because they're on this backcountry like this, wearing these alien masks. They crash this car, as you said, by shooting bows into it with some pretty strong rope as well. Like, I don't care how strong these guys are. As we find out, they have super strength, right?
Yes.
But they crash the car by basically just holding their ground.
Yes.
That's not how physics works.
I thought that was really stupid until later on, you know, like maybe the next scene or whenever it was that they reveal it's like the super strength. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because at first you're like, there's no way, right? Physics doesn't always work when it comes to superpowers. But anyway, all that being said, sure. we get a rare occurrence of Clark behind the wheel of a truck, which was interesting. Usually I just expect him to be super speeding around all the time, right. Which would be extremely... like a red flag to people, right? Because he does it all the time. He shows up places like miles away, and he runs into Lex and like, Clark, what are you doing here? Oh, I could ask you the same thing.
He must be really good at remembering where he left his car.
Yeah, it's like, well, it won't take him very long to find it since he has super speed. But, you know, I just think about, like, if he had super speed, you'd just run everywhere. But at the same time, it's a red flag to people, like, well, how did you get here? But and they always, that works every now and then, but it really reaches a point of absurdity with people, like, you know, before they find out that he has powers, you know, people like Lana and Chloe and all this, like, hey Clark, how did you get here so fast? Or if he goes to, if he goes to save someone, what does he do? Like okay, wait here, does he super speed back to the car and then drive back and put them in his car? You know, it's funny to see Tom Welling behind the wheel. But he, you know, Clark comes in and he sees, well, what they're doing here is, we don't know why they're doing it, but they've crashed this van and they're ransacking it. They're obviously stealing something from it. And Clark sees this robbery going down, so he comes out like, hey, what are you guys doing? And he runs over like he would, you know, being the good Samaritan that he is, and tries to stop him. And I love it when, you know, Superman, Clark, especially on the show, when he goes into a situation thinking, okay, I got superpowers, I got this, and then he doesn't. And he's like,
yes.
Because hey. He tries to punch this guy, and he can't do it. Much like in Batman v Superman, where, you know, they're on the roof there, and Superman's going to punch Batman, and Batman stops his hand, and that's how Superman realizes that his powers has been taken away by the kryptonite gas. Problem with that, though, Superman didn't know that he didn't have powers, right? He would have killed Batman, right? He would have knocked his head off, and yet he looks surprised that Batman could stop his arm. So anyway, that's just a brief aside. I want to point that out. Superman's a jerk is what I'm trying to say in the movies. Christopher Reeve, Henry Cavill, it doesn't matter. Superman does not care about your well-being.
I would like to agree with that statement.
But Clark, you know, he's grappling one of these guys, and he sees that they're wearing a class ring, a Smallville class ring, which we haven't seen those for a while. And I guess everyone got their stones replaced from the Red Kryptonite episode. It looks like it's black now. And I want to say, ooh, black kryptonite, which does show up later in the show. But,
really?
All the colors show up. All the colors.
Oh, really? Oh, gosh. Okay.
217, 218 episodes, Nancy. Okay, come on.
I know. I realized I had to start reaching for something. it's fair.
So I thought, oh, no, all the Smallville class rings are supposed to be red. But, you know, if you recall, in high school, you get to choose your own color. I chose red, well, because of Smallville, but also... because Dulles was red, so I really lucked out there. I mean, that's the reason I wanted a class ring. I was like, look, Dad, I need a class ring, okay?
Dad. Look. It's a good reason.
I know, right?
You don't really need one beyond that.
So that's one clue for Clark. And then these guys throw him, like, they do a Clark move, right? They throw him, like, 20 feet away. He's like, whoa, nice. So how's it feel,
Clark?
He
actually, gets hurt. He's like, oh my goodness.
So then, you know, again, that's why I like this episode. And that's why I like situations like this, because Superman, he's like, well, my powers aren't working. I have to use my brain. I have to use those journalism skills I haven't been honing at the Torch, not writing articles.
Yes.
So he uses his X-ray vision. And he sees one guy has a plate in his head. Lucky that's there, because that's a huge clue.
Right.
And then, you know, we cut to the opening credits and we come back, and Clark is at the Kent farm talking to Jonathan about the situation. He says he didn't stick around to talk to the police because he didn't want to get on Sheriff Adams' radar again. And who would, right?
Agreed.
Yes. Now, Jonathan says, you witnessed a crime, right? And I'm like, well, does that count as the episode title said in episode? We're going to get nitty gritty here, because it's going to get, as the series progresses, and there are more words that they use. How specific do I want to get with this episode title said in episode? Like, no one says witness. Right, people say you witnessed the crime, right? Past tense.
Right.
So I think I won't count it. What do you think?
I don't think it counts because it's not being used the right way.
Right. I mean, I think I'm being ridiculous enough with this tally board. Like, I want to be. I don't think I need to give it any slack. Like, it's either there or it's not. And no one said witness. So doesn't count. Sorry, guys. Although I was pretty shocked because witness is a pretty standard word. But
yeah, or maybe the cop could have been like, witness anything suspicious? Like, I mean, you could have just thrown it in right there. So, that's true. You know.
I don't think it was ever an active thing that they did. I know on the Talon marquee, they used to like sneak in, you know, words and stuff like that in jokes. I don't think when the scriptwriter was like, oh, let's put make sure everybody says the name of the episode in the episode. I don't think that was an intentional thing in
well,
the writer's
good, then.
Room. So we get to Smallville High School. Mm-hmm. And I love this because Clark is talking to Pete about what went down, and he's using his X-ray vision on everyone. I mean, we don't see it, but we hear the sound effect, right? He's looking around right. All around the hallway. And I thought, you know what? Again, Superman using his powers in everyday situations to solve a mystery that he's encountered. I like that a lot. And then Pete, you know, he's having a conversation about Pete. About, you know, Lana comes by. Pete's getting some crap about that because, you know, things are heating up between Clark and Lana, guys.
Yeah, but I know how that goes, so I'm not getting my hopes up at all.
But anyway, I feel like Pete's actually very well used in this episode because he's, like, Clark's, like, guy on the street, so to speak. Like, he's connected to, like, the student body and all that.
Yeah.
He knows what's going on, and it's not ridiculous exposition like Chloe will have. Well, Clark, you know, the West African mosquito bite or whatever, right? This is Pete just talking about like, oh yeah, that guy plays baseball, that guy does this, that guy does that. So like they're walking along and Clark sees he x-rays a guy and he sees the same plate in his head that he saw the night before it during the robbery. And he's like, Pete, who's that guy? And he's like, oh, Eric Marsh. You need to pick up a sports page, which I found amusing. they follow him to baseball practice, you know. But this is Zachary Ty Bryan. You know, he's playing Eric Marsh, the lead freak of the week in this episode. I was looking at his IMDb to see, like, you know, what else has he been in since, you know, Home Improvement. And he was in a couple episodes of Boston Public, actually.
Okay.
He was in an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He was in a couple episodes of Veronica Mars. He was in an episode of Knight Rider, the revival Knight Rider from the late 2000s. You know, to tie it all together with comic books, he played Thor in Thor, Hammer of the Gods, a 2009, I can only assume, a direct-to-video movie. So,
okay. Wow.
I might have to seek this out.
Yeah, just to see.
And you guys know how we do the IMDb rating. Mm-hmm. Nancy, what do you think the IMDb rating of Thor, Hammer of the Gods is out of 10?
Oh, was this directed? I can't tell if it's like garbage and people loved it or the opposite. Probably that. I don't know. I would say maybe. Ooh, I don't know how mean people are on IMDb. How critical?
Let me tell you this.
Like a 4.5, maybe.
Okay, you say 4.5. Let me tell you this. The usual range on IMDb is between about a 6 and a 9.5.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe 5 then.
Okay.
I'll go up 0.5.
So you've adjusted your score up. You would be wrong because this movie this movie got a 2.8 out of 10. So I really feel like I must seek it out now. So anyway, Zachary Ty Bryan, keep getting those checks. That was his last credited work in 2009. So and then he was apparently in Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift. So I'll have to check that out as well. But anyway, that's Zachary Ty Bryan. You've heard us talk about Home Improvement enough now over these last two episodes. So
I know, right?
But come on, Home Improvement, as children of the 90s, Home Improvement was our jam. So
absolutely.
So he's at Eric here. He's at batting practice. He's knocking balls out of the park. He's hitting the scoreboard. He's doing this. He's doing that. How is he able to do this, though, is we've seen that he has a what I guess he's passing off as an asthma inhaler, I can only assume.
That's what I wrote. I was like, kryptonite inhaler?
Yeah. And he's inhaling it, and that gives him super strength. Now, here's a problem on Smallville, right? I feel like they really fast and loose with what kryptonite can and cannot do.
Yes.
I feel like, look, I will buy, you give me a catalyst, I'll buy anything. Like kryptonite is the X element, and then you add electricity or fire or bugs or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And I'll be like, okay, my sci-fi mind, I'll go with that, right? But this is, like, as we learned, these guys are just melting down kryptonite and injecting it. Now, we go on to learn that, you know, Eric was, kind of a nerd, a chemistry guy. He got straight A's in chemistry and all that.
But then there was some sort of, like, chemistry lab explosion that they say later in the episode, right? He was at some camp over the summer at a university.
And I thought, oh, they're going to say this is how he got affected. But no, without the kryptonite inhaler and these enhancements, these performance-enhancing drugs, as Pete and Clark speculate out there, they don't know kryptonite's involved yet. They just assume the guy's on steroids because Pete's like, you know, we were on the same Little League team. This guy used to suck. So,
yes.
But we find out that he was a chemistry nerd, you know, and straight A's. And so that the combination... I'm going to assume he added something to the kryptonite is what I'm saying, you know?
Because... I mean, we can only hope, because, yeah, well, I was waiting to see what happened, especially when Eric gets into his candy apple red Mustang and drives to his, like, abandoned warehouse place. I was like, oh, okay, all right, what happened? And then I was like, oh, an illicit drug ring. Okay.
Well, yeah, because, like, yeah, it's we're going to be able to go street with this stuff. I'm like, really? I thought, what is your goal? What is your objective? But, you know, Eric notices Clark and Pete watching him out there, and then because in baseball you can do this, he directed the ball to hit the scoreboard, and it like blew up all the natural style right over him. Suspicious at all, right? and B, like, dude, what are you doing? Like, the chemistry camp explosion, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
The only reason that was part of the, you know, his backstory was to explain how he got this metal plate in his head. Which is what made him, like, you know, they didn't have to make some crazy thing like that.
No, that's such an elaborate, like...
They could have just said, hey, he has a metal plate in his head, you know, but...
No explanation needed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So we cut from that to Luther Mansion. Lionel is there, and Lionel, it's been a few episodes since Lionel's been in an episode, and they even quote this kind of meta-wise. He's like, Lex, it's been too long. So it's like, yes, I agree, Lionel, you're back, and... This is why this last batch of episodes in season two is so good, because Lionel Luther and John Glover playing him is one of the best things about Smallville. He is amazing.
I agree with that. He looks like the sort of person, like, you instantly do not trust him and don't like him, which I imagine is kind of how Luther Sr. would be. That makes sense.
Well, and John Glover and Mike Rosenbaum are the two best actors
mm-hmm.
on this show, and like any scene they have together is so amazing, and this is the material they have to work with. I feel like the writers always step their game up when the Luthers talk to each other too.
I agree, because that's exactly what I wrote down, was I thought that their dialogue exchanges were really good, really interesting, like they really fit with the characters, because I think that's some of my gripe with some of the dialogue in this show, is it just sounds so like first draft. Like, oh, woof.
22 episodes a season, 10 seasons, Nancy, come on, give them a break.
But if they're at the beginning, they should have been trying harder. Come on.
Yeah, this is only 41 in, so.
Come on, man. You don't get to slack off until you've achieved some sort of success after, like, 3 or 4 seasons. Like, come on now.
You know, this is peak Lionel, I think. End of season 2, season 3, this is peak villainous Lionel in this show. And that is what is so great. And I had forgotten that Smallville could be meta. One of my favorite meta moments in the show is in season 10, Lionel comes back, and I won't go into all those spoilers yet, but he looks at the camera, and he's like, wouldn't want to miss how it all turns out, and it's completely breaking the fourth wall, and I was like, this is amazing, and only John Glover could pull this off, and I'm like, but Smallville's never meta like this, and I'll go back and revisit these episodes, and he's saying, Lex, it's been too long, so like they knew that he had been out of episodes for a while, and you know, he had had the whole being blind subplot and all that's been resolved now, so he's back to being the villainous Lionel that we all love. And he's come to congratulate Lex on his engagement, because Lex is now engaged to Helen, and Helen's at some medical conference somewhere. Only so much guest star money to go around, right? Can't everybody in the same
That's
episode.
That's what I was thinking, too.
we got Zachary Ty Bryan we got to pay. So Lionel's objective here is to kind of rib Lex about not being invited to his wedding and all that. But he has another objective. And then, you know, these trucks that... One of the trucks. The van that we saw burglarize at the beginning of the episode was a Luthcourt van. And Lionel thinks Lex is the one stealing him. I love it how he turns around on Lionel and he's like, I know nothing about it, but I'm very interested that you think I would go to the efforts to steal this stuff. You know, what do you
have?
Because
it must be something I'm interested in.
I also love that Smallville Torch article, right, that Lex has. Mm-hmm. And Lionel immediately like writes it off. He's like, you know, believe this high school tabloid stuff.
This,
you know?
BS, yeah. Like.
Yeah. But he takes note of Chloe's name on the article, right? And then later on, when he goes to the Torch, he's like, oh, I've been a great admirer of your work for quite some time. I'm like, you were so full of BS. You were just talking about how this was garbage, you know?
But, you know, like any true savvy blackmailer type person, he filed that away because maybe it could be useful to him later.
Exactly. So. This is why Lionel is so great, because he is... as we always talk about on these CW shows, like, there's two of everything. Like, they have two versions of everyone. Like, Chloe and Lois are both Lois, right? And it is blatant on the New Batch and the Arrowverse shows. There literally are two of everything. Two Black Canaries. Gosh, there's three Black Canaries now. There's two Reverse Gosh. Flashes. You know, there's the two Green Arrows, sort of, you know, if you count Yao Fei as the original. So there's two Al Ghul sisters, right? There's two of everything. There's two Deathstrokes. Okay, but there's two of everything. And so in Smallville, Lionel is like the comic book Lex Luthor, right? He's the iconic Lex Luthor. He's just in this time period. And he actually has the appearance of the clone Lex Luthor from the Death of Superman era, where Lex Luthor faked his death and came back as Lex Luthor II, his own son. But it was really his brain transplanted into a clone body. Comic books are fun, aren't they, guys? But anyway... he had a beard and a mane of hair. And, you know, I always, especially here, Lionel's hair is so long in season 2 and season 3. And you know he's growing out just to rub it into Lex. Like, that, like, you can't grow this hair, son. You know?
Oh, you know it. I thought that too.
So we know that Lionel will revisit this Smallville torch angle pretty soon. And, you know, we go back to the torch, and Pete and Clark continue their investigation on Eric. I think this is where they find out the stuff about chemistry camp and all that. Then Chloe comes in. He's like, "Oh, sorry, this is for reporters only," or something, you know. And he didn't tell Pete that he quit. He's like, "You quit? I didn't know quitting was an option." And she's like, "Very funny." I'm like, "Oh, Pete, you are not. Now is not the time, man. Now it's not."
Looks so good though. Makes Clark look so uncomfortable.
Clark is cleaning out his desk, which I found hilarious. Like, he literally puts a lot of stuff in a box and walks out. Like, he's just like. Worked there for 10 years.
Yeah, it didn't look like his stuff.
I'm like, what? I've never seen you with this stuff in my life, right? Like, what is this stuff? But Clark has decided to tell Eric now, and he sees him leaving school. I love how he's like Travis, because he's in this. You see the car that he drove? It reminded me of Travis.
Oh my gosh. I cannot believe that did not occur to me.
Again, wow. Travis had this red sports car in high school.
Oh man, I haven't thought about that in a while. That's so funny. Why did I not connect that? That's a fail on my part.
Come on.
Come on, man. Huge fail. I will own that. Is so sad.
You're calling out the Smallville writers. You can't even remember the car your husband drove in high school. Step your game up.
He didn't have a Mustang though. When he had a Mustang, it was blue, not red.
I know.
I should have caught that.
But I do like it. It plays with the high school athlete. Like, he's driving this nice car and all that. And Travis is a cool guy, by the way. For the record, he's nothing like this character.
He's totally not this.
He's not a thief, a douche, or a murderer. Yes, exactly. Because Clark.
I can't wait till we talk about that.
And I'm getting so excited. So Clark shows up. He follows Eric to this foundry, basically. I think the sign literally says Smallville Foundry.
Smallville Foundry. Estimate. I tried to look for the date, but they cut away too fast. Yeah, like,
there's a couple other guys there working with him. Obviously the goons who he had burglarized the van with. And Clark's sneaking around, but then the other two guys find him. Again, Clark, just he cannot handle not having superpowers. Like, Superman is so out of his element when he doesn't have his powers, because, you know, obviously there's kryptonite around, so he's weakened, and these guys, it's a combination of that and these guys being super strong because they are amped up on kryptonite. Eric here, he sees what's going on, so he takes another puff of his kryptonite inhaler or whatever. I mean, that's the only thing, like, I say that because I don't know I just thought that, like, if he's always going around inhaling this stuff, he had to have a reason, like, to have this inhaler, and I thought he would just, like, tell people he had asthma, but I guess it's, like, a secret that he... You know what I mean?
Was it? Because he just whipped that out on the baseball field.
Yeah, I'm like, you were at home plate. Like, you're not, like, in the dugout or in your car. You're standing right there. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, so, and then, of course, they do the completely unnecessary shot where he, you know, he inhales it, and then he takes a breath, and then, like, yes. his breath is green like that. I'm like, what's that?
Oh, those good old special effects.
You have a limited special effects budget, guys. Is that really where you want to spend it?
They thought it looked cool. That's why they spent the money there.
I like this exchange between Eric and Clark. It's exactly how this would go down between some, like, bully and Clark. He's like, oh, you're pretty smart. Well, I'm pretty smart, too. You know, I like that exchange. And he starts beating him because, you know, he understands chemistry and all this. So if you don't expect this guy to know that kind of stuff, and...
Right, because he looks like your typical sports meathead.
exactly. Yeah. But then Clark notices the pile of kryptonite. It's the same kryptonite bars that we saw in Lionel Luthor's safe back in Insurgents. So we, you know, all the pieces are falling into place here. Clark sees it, and And Eric's like, oh, I see you know about the meteor rock. And he's like, I see what it can do to people. And it's true. You know, I mean, like,
sure.
Like, guys, there's dozens of you guys I've seen. But what they do is, you know, they rough up Clark a little more. And then Eric's like, he knows too much. And then they throw
him
in the furnace.
Right. He's like, he knows too much. We may as well just eliminate him. I'm like, are you for real? And then he opens the door and tosses him in. I wrote down, this is the most casual manslaughter I've ever seen.
It's like throwing away garbage in the incinerator.
Like, we go from I'm pretty smart too to I'm gonna throw you in the fire. Like, I couldn't stop laughing.
Oh my gosh.
Like, wow, okay, he's gonna be real surprised when he sees Clark again.
Yeah,
also,
because
he's so smart. Why doesn't he figure out that something's up when he sees Clark again later?
Well, he does later. He's like, you might not be breakable. You might be unbreakable, but
unbreakable,
your parents aren't. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, Unbreakable. That's a good movie. So as we were laughing about Clark being thrown in this furnace, because again, these people don't know that Clark has superpowers. They just thought they killed this guy. He knows too much. Let's incinerate him. But this resulted in one of the most iconic shots in Smallville history. Clark, well, first of all, they leave. They take the kryptonite with them, so Clark gets his powers back, right?
Right.
So he's able to bust out of the door. I love the shot where he kicks the door open and it flies open. That's like awesome shot right there.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Superman in fire is always very iconic. We saw it back in Hothead. We've seen it in all, you know, the Superman movies. You know, it's a very iconic thing of Superman to be in fire. So that's really cool. And then, but the shot where his hand like pops up on the glass, did that make you think of Titanic?
Yes, it did. It totally did.
Inappropriate Titanic callback show.
I totally thought that. Now, I wasn't sure, though, because a couple days ago over the weekend, I was in Barnes & Noble with a friend, and we were looking for some, like, sci-fi books to read. And this, like, horrible, like, jazz flute version of My Heart Will Go On comes on the radio, like the store PA system. And we looked at each other, and I was like, nobody that's younger than us... This song means nothing to them. So I didn't know if like that was just me being influenced by that experience. But if you thought that too, then obviously it wasn't.
I just came back from a cruise, so maybe Titanic was on my mind as well.
No. Okay.
But maybe. So we had subliminal Titanic on our mind when we watched this.
I feel like, yeah.
Maybe you guys didn't, but I mean, that's the first thing I thought. Like whenever I see a foggy window and a handprint on it, I think of Titanic. Okay, so that's not
same.
Good enough. But anyway, so that was ridiculous, right? But
oh,
then, you know. But then he comes out of the furnace, and this is one of the most iconic shots in Smallville history. We see basically Clark almost his bare butt, but not really, because the flames are strategically placed, you know, where we don't really see it. It was in the promos. They promoted the heck out of that.
Did they really?
Yeah,
oh,
they did.
Funny.
And in the companion, Al Goff has to say, we certainly know how to sell the sizzle. Because they're talking about, you know, all the trailers, they prominently featured his naked backside. I hate to tell you, but that's not really Tom Welling. That's his stunt double, first of all.
Oh, I'd be so disappointed if I was a fan. I wouldn't want to know that fact.
So we cut to commercial. We cut back. Clark's back at the Kent Farm, telling Spencer. He has, I guess, found some workers, you know, fatigues that he's wearing because he didn't want to super speed home naked.
yes.
And he's telling his parents what happened, and they're like, oh, we have to call the police. He's like, look, the police can't do anything. These guys overpowered me and threw me into a furnace, guys. So, but they're like, well, maybe there is something we can do. It's call the sheriff. Call your favorite character, Sheriff Adams, Nancy.
Ugh,
and
I did like a face palm. I was so sad. I'm like, no, don't do that.
Well, Clark, what he's done is he's left an anonymous tip with the sheriff's department about about what happens. Now, I don't know why. Well, I get he's doing the anonymous for his own reasons with the sheriff and all that. I mean, because obviously Eric didn't know who it was. You know why? Because Clark shows up at the baseball field when he's arrested just to kind of like smile and like, you know, rub it in. Like, hey, I got you, you know. Bad move, Clark, right?
Such a bad move. You never gloat over it. You always act like, no, that. I don't know why he hasn't figured that out yet.
The genesis of Superman, the jerk. But
what
made me laugh about this scene was Sheriff Adams, they searched Eric's locker and they found the alien mask, which is what the, you know, one of the drivers or somebody described that these guys knocking off these vans wearing alien masks. And he's like, you can't search my locker. He's like, you kidding me?
Are you joking? I don't need a warrant for your locker,
yeah,
child.
You need a warrant for my public school locker, right?
Yeah.
So now Eric is arrested and Clark's thinking, oh, my problems are solved. This guy with super strength. It's hard to say. This guy with super strength just just got arrested. All my problems are solved. Oh, and he knows that I'm invulnerable, you know, which never comes up. They talk about how, like, those guys, they're guys, they aren't talking, you know? And it's like, really? Because the first thing I would be like, hey, I know we're in jail, but this guy over here, we threw into a furnace. Maybe we shouldn't say that because there's more charges against us. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe the Lord just told him, you know what? No one's going to believe that. Just shut up. Maybe that's what happened. But so Clark thinks that's over, right? But
yeah,
you know,
he walks off whistling.
But even though we're an hour into this conversation, we're only about 20 minutes into the
They really tried to put a lot into this episode.
There was. So again, like, sometimes Smallville does this. They have these subplots that I feel could go in any episode. And this is one of them, the one with Henry Small and Lana and her, what would you call that? Your biological father's wife.
Like, it's kind of your stepmom. I just wrote stepmom ? And then I wrote that she, don't we have to back up?
This is the scene though. So Lana and Chloe, they're driving down Smallville and Chloe's, you know, convertible. It's a beautiful day in Smallville. They're talking about, you know, how Clark and Chloe, because they mentioned this earlier when they were talking on the torch, they're going to put their friendship on hold, which is like ridiculous.
Yeah, what's that?
What is
that's BS. What? No, that's some BS right there.
So Chloe and Lana are talking about this, and is Lana just, I really think they're writing her to not know, they're writing her to be oblivious so she doesn't look like a bad person.
Yes, I would agree with that, because there's no way that she would be, if she was, it was obvious that they were talking, that she was in the way in that opening scene, how could she not be aware of it now? Like, I agree. It's, I don't know. I feel like Lana, sometimes they write her smart, but mostly she's just an airhead.
You must be smart, but I'm pretty smart too.
Exactly.
Well, she's put in a pretty tough situation here, because as Lana and Chloe are just driving down the road here, they're at a stoplight, look over, and they see her, I guess we're going with stepmom, we're going with Henry Small's wife. And she is being very friendly with a man around her age coming out of a door. They kind of do the whole, like,
so terrible. Well, just the way you said that was really funny. I'm sorry, I just found that funny.
Well, that's why I have a podcast, Nancy. But it's not good. It doesn't look good for Lana's stepmom. No. But I love, and it's just kind of over the top, but I love it. It's like this almost slow motion, like, half circle pan around Lana watching her walk across the street, and then we cut back to her and she's walking across the street and they make this eye contact. It's like, it's the kind of thing you'd see, like, a serial killer seeing its victim kind of thing. Actually, they did it. It's the same thing they did in Precipice with Paul, right? When he's in the hospital chair and they're wheeling him out and Lex walks by.
Yeah,
and it's like
almost slow
motion.
Yes.
And it's like, uh-oh, stuff's gonna go down here. So, and through this episode, Lana had been talking about how she's like, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to invite Henry and his wife, and this family thing's turned out great. And this just torpedoes all of that goodwill.
Sure.
Which is unfortunate, right?
Right. Well, and it's like she wasn't going to say anything either. At least that's the impression I got. Or she was trying to figure out what to do. But then, you know, that kind of gets blown up. So
then we cut back to the town. I wonder, like, how long after it. This was supposed to happen, because it looks like Lana's like, it's like later on, she's just working, it's another day. But what's her name? What is her name?
Which one? What are we talking about?
The stepmom, Jennifer.
Oh, Jennifer.
Jennifer,
yeah.
Small. Jennifer Small. It looks like she just, like, went from giving Lana the eye there to, like, showing up at the Talon. So I'm not. Again, I don't know how much time has passed. I don't know what day it is. Right, Smallville. Right, but she immediately confronts her here about this, and she's like, Lana, it's not what it looks like. That was my divorce attorney. I'm like, okay.
We're like, okay, wait. You just made it worse. You didn't, demystify anything.
You're like, it's not what it looks like. I'm just getting a divorce. I'm not cheating on my husband. He's an old friend, you know, from college or whatever. So basically, Jennifer's problem is that Lana has become Henry's whole life. Like, he's her number one priority. She's his number one priority.
Oh, my gosh. I was rolling my eyes so hard during this whole, hissy fit she was having.
Yeah, it's like, woman, like, again, I'm not a woman. I'm not a mother. Right, of any kind of, or I don't know what that means. What I'm saying is, I'm never gonna
feel like you have to be.
I'm never gonna find myself in the situation, but I would tell this woman, hey, deal with it. Right?
I mean, I wrote down, why would she be jealous about her husband being a good person? She needs to dial it back.
Well, it's weird. Like, but I feel
come
like
on.
I feel
well, obviously she's very insecure. If all she wants is for husband to just focus on her 24/7, that's not healthy.
Yeah, the thing with the Smalls here was they I don't think they knew what to do with them. Like, they had this idea of, okay, what if Lana had a biological father? And they went with that, right? But then after that...
What you're saying makes sense, because it just felt, like, weird and disjointed. So it wasn't, you know, obviously they didn't know what they were doing.
Well, I mean, they felt the need to kind of wrap up this storyline this season, which I don't think they really needed to do. Maybe they feel like it had played its course, but they hadn't even scratched the surface of the potential here. Like I said, Patrick Cassidy, barely used, criminally underused, right? And then and then they were inconsistent about, you know, what Jennifer was like, because before she was like, Lana, I don't think you should, you know, don't get your hopes up about Henry because he's obsessed with his work. And in, you know, previous episodes, they were talking about this. And, mm-hmm. and I feel like they really changed that characterization, and they just didn't really pick a direction and stick with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is one of Smallville's, like, one of the great missed opportunities of Smallville. I don't know how much opportunity was truly there. I don't know. They could have just done something with it. And they did almost nothing. So
so why even introduce them at all?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, why introduce, like, all these angles to the story, too? Like, oh, he has a, you know, he has a wife, and the wife doesn't like Lana. And it's like, okay, well, you can just let him be a guy and then leave it at that. But there is one valid point here, I think. And she says to Lana, she's like, you're a reminder of, a happier time of his life, like a window to the past that he likes, right? And I think there is something to be said for that. Like, that is why Henry's all about this, because it was, you know, a more carefree time in his youth. He was young and in love with Lana's mom, you know. And now, and, like, Lana's, like, the manifestation of that history. And I can see how that would be, like, appealing to someone, and how it kind of would overpower their, if your everyday life is, you know, got you down. You're like, well, I got this, you know, this better days, man. You know, it's like getting together with old friends and stuff, you know. It's like having a podcast about a show. It's 15 years old. You talk about it every week with your friends from high school. It's very similar.
I mean, I wasn't going to make that comparison.
Oh, that was in the moment I realized what I was saying. It's terrible. So anyway, take that as you will, listeners. But then, you know, we have a hospital visit, plus one for a hospital visit here. So we're working on the tally board. Chloe goes to the hospital to visit the driver of the van that was.
I thought it was really nice that the hospital included huge patient nameplates on the door.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because WTF is that, right? Like,
yes, I so agree. I was like, well, now she doesn't have to try to steal some paperwork and guess at whose name this is. Like, who is this person? It's good.
But so, yeah, that's a plus one, and we'll do the final tally at the end about where we are right now. Keep in mind, this is episode 41 of Smallville, and we're in the 20s is all I'm going to say about the hospital visits. But this is the beginning of one of the most interesting and best aspects of Smallville for several years, the Chloe-Lionel Luther relationship.
I wondered about that. Okay.
It is very interesting, and they've really forged a really good friendship during the show. Like, I think they each have said they're the actors they liked working with the most. Yeah, and Mark Verheiden in The Companion, he says, we revved up the whole Chloe-Lionel story in this episode. I thought that worked extremely well, even though overall it's not one of my own favorites. And, you know, I would disagree. I feel like the Lionel-Chloe stuff, Lionel in general, but especially the Lionel and Chloe stuff here, really puts it over the top for me. But overall, I did really like this episode, and this just makes it even better, pushes that into that, oh, dare I say, A range. We'll get to it at the end. But,
what? Okay.
What? Because these characters are so interesting because they're created for Smallville, right? Lionel Luther didn't exist in the comics. Chloe Sullivan didn't exist in the comics. They have since been assimilated into the Superman lore in the comic books because they were so popular on Smallville. But these actors and these characters kind of forged their own future together, and I think that's why they were so interesting and dynamic together, because they weren't constrained by any preconceptions. Like, every other character on the show, like main character, is based off a pre-existing character. Lex, Clark, the Kents, you know, Lana.
Sure.
So Lionel Luther and Chloe Sullivan, blank slates, right? And they could do whatever they wanted. And John Glover, talking about, like I said, John Glover and Allison Mack really enjoyed working together. He said that, I was very excited when I found out there was going to be a juicy arc with Chloe and Lionel. Allison's work on the show fascinates me, and I figured I'd be able to learn a lot from her. She's still forming as an actor, not restricted by a lot of rules, and I'm trying to figure out how to break a lot of rules that I've learned over the years. We have a blast working together. She's got a great sense of humor, too. So that's so nice of him to say, because, I mean, he's an established guy. He's a Tony winner.
That's super nice, you know, man. I mean, I bet she really took that, like, yeah. to like sunshine to her soul. I would have. Yeah. If that had been me and someone like him was saying those things about me, oh yeah, I would have. That's cool.
And these are two characters. I mean, we're 2 years into the show now, and they're completely established in their own right, but they've never crossed paths before. Right, so it's interesting. You take this fully formed character over here and fully formed character over here, and you mix them together, and you see what they're going to happen. And these are great actors. Like I was talking about Rosenbaum and Glover, and like, well, the third best actor on the show is Allison Mack. Like she's amazing. But this is the beginning of that very interesting dynamic between them that will last for several seasons, and has an interesting arc at the end of this season as well. So yeah, this whole scene here, you can tell that Chloe's intimidated by Lionel because, I mean, he's a billionaire, right? He's one of the most famous people in the state, in the country, who knows? Luther Corp, right?
She plays it so well. I was really impressed by that. Like, I like that she was saying, like, well, I'm trying to be skeptical, but I really want, like, the desperate journalist wants to just dive in.
Yeah, because she's like, oh, I don't know if I'm overstepping my bounds, but I have to ask this question because of my journalistic instinct. You know, every second.
Yes.
Follows him out to the elevator. He's like, oh, Miss Sullivan, I admire your enthusiasm, but...
like, how do you know me?
So I've been a follower of your work. And Miss Sullivan, like, he's the only person to ever call her that. And he is so, it's just so intimidating when he calls her, like, Miss Sullivan? Like, in so many seasons, like, whenever he shows up or that's like his, like, mic drop when he's done talking to her in another episode, he's like, Miss Sullivan, and he sees himself out. It's just that's like I don't know if it's not a quotable, I guess, but they're the only people that would say that to each other, and that's just that becomes a quotable in Smallville. Like, whenever it's like Miss Sullivan, you know, Lionel and Chloe are gonna have a great scene together, and this is the beginning of that, so it's so great.
Ooh, okay.
He kind of writes her off and backs her off, I guess, and leaves the hospital, and she knows something's going on here. Right, because it's very suspicious that the CEO of Luther Corp would be there. He's like, oh, I'm just paying my respects to a hardworking employee, which is just ridiculous, right? If anyone would believe that. But she knows something's up. You know.
Yes. Yes. She doesn't buy that.
So we cut to the Talon, and Clark and Lana have a little chat here. They talk a little about what's going on in their lives, and they talk about Henry and Jennifer, and Clark gives her some advice, and then Lana takes that advice and gives it back to Clark about him and Chloe, you know? So, again, yes. Lana being ignorant, like, they intentionally make her ignorant to the problem. Because she's like, wow, what's going on? And he's like, I can't really tell you, because it's you!
It's you.
It's a good scene here, because it's Lana giving Clark some advice about, like, stuff he hadn't seen in himself, but he's giving it to, I mean, right, the plank in your eye, the speck in your speck in your brother's eye kind of stuff going on.
Exactly.
The advice that Clark is dishing out to people. And she does say that Chloe and you have been friends for forever, and not true, because it's been established that Chloe moved to Smallville in eighth grade. So I guess 3 years is forever, huh?
I mean, maybe when you're that age, it is. I don't know.
I guess so. When you put it that way, when you're 16 years old. But then Lex goes to jail and visits Eric here, and he's interested in, you know, what's going on, because Lex really wants to know what's in these trucks, right? Because he knows his dad is up to no good, and he sees this as an in to get to this guy. So he pretty much offers him, you know, protection, either, you know, bail or getting out of his trial or something like that. So, you know, it's Lex Luthor. He's got money. He's got connections.
Exactly.
If he wants to do some deal with you and you're in jail, you're probably going to do it. I like how in denial, though, Eric is. He's like, oh, just another bump in the road, right?
I know. I was like, man, you're delusional. That kryptonite's getting to your head.
It probably is. Some agreement has been made here between Lex and Eric. We're not quite sure what it is, but we cut away and we cut back and we cut to Smallville High School, and the torch has been trashed, like, really destroyed. Like, there's lights are ripped off the wall, out of the ceiling. Like, it's pretty extreme, you know? Like
there's that huge wooden, like, pillar that's just splintered. Like, oh my gosh, it looks like someone just punched it from behind, which, I mean, obviously is probably what happened, but, you know.
Chloe is obviously very distraught about this. I mean, literally, the place is trashed. There's desks, there's papers, I mean...
Like scissors sticking out of the iMac. Like, someone went to a lot of trouble to ruin everything.
Clark comes in, tries to comfort her. Of course, it's like the worst possible time with what they have going on with each other. And she's like, we'll get through this. She's like, there is no we anymore, Clark. It's just me. And she's, you know, she's crying. She storms out. It's like, again, I love Chloe, and I'm always on her side. it's just the absurdity of the setup of the Smallville torch here. Just, I cannot look past it because it's like, no, there's more than just you on this paper. There has to be a teacher. There has to be a staff. I know you're all sick of me talking about it, but I was in high school newspaper. I know how it works. And
also, did it bother you that like every time that they like took a shot of the door that supposedly leads to the torch room, no one seems to be like curious that there was this huge like accident that only seemed to happen there?
I don't
like,
know, Nancy. They got to get to class.
If that happened when we were in high school, I know we would have been like, you know, eyeballing it, rubbernecking as you walk by. Like, there's no way. I was just like, oh, everyone's just going to class. Like, there wasn't some huge break-in and some crazy person wrecked this room. I don't know.
This is Smallville High School. They have seen some stuff, Nancy. All right, this is just another day of the week at Smallville High School. No, that's good. I didn't think about that. You're right, though. It's like, there should be at least, like, a crowd of people that Clark had to, like, work through to get in there and some caution tape, perhaps. Right?
Yeah, just like... just the hint that you were thinking about someone else outside of this scenario.
Well, gotta get to class. Yeah, Chloe's distraught, and she's like, I'm off to find a friend. And she's, you know, crying. And Allison Mack is crying really well, by the way.
Yeah, she does.
I mean, you believe that she's upset. You know, because some actors and actresses, they cry, and you're like, yeah, they sprayed some water on their face. But no, she is, like, emoting, you know. But so she turns the corner, and Clark goes to follow her. And you're like, oh, well, they're either going to patch things up. Great. But no, they don't. He gets stopped by Eric. He's like, hey, I heard the paper's not going to the press today, which implies that they trashed the torch. But did they? We'll talk about that at the end. Okay. Clark, you know, slams up against the locker. He's like, ah, did you do this? You know? And as Clark can always do, he you know, he takes his strength for granted. But then Eric just kind of like takes his hands off of him and pushes him down. It's like, ooh, yeah, you forgot that I had super strength. But, He tells him, now this is where he says, like, you might be unbreakable, but your parents aren't, you know, because he's like, I'll testify if I have to and all this stuff. And he's like, yeah, I'd think about that if I were you. Because, again, he's kind of a thug, right? But he's a smart thug. You know, I'm not this guy. It's an interesting balance. I find it interesting. Like, even if this guy was not Zachary Ty Bryan, right? I know we've talked about that to death. I know. But I would find this guy an interesting character because he's a jock, but he used to be a smart guy. So he's kind of got a foot in both worlds. So he's kind of thinking stuff through.
Well, a jock would only threaten Clark. A smart person threatens people that are important to Clark. That just makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I agree. That's a good, because he looks like the kind of guy who would just be like, I'm just going to pound you into next week, small fry. Like, you know.
Like, what a cliche. What a 1960s cliche, Nancy. Pound you in the next week, small fry.
Well, I was quoting the bully that bullies Calvin in Calvin and Hobbes.
There you go. Perfect.
So, I mean, you know. But I agree. He looks like that kind of guy who has like two brain cells and he has to rub them together real hard to get a thought out. But he's actually not. So,
well, you know, he mentions like, oh, I hate something to happen to your family. And so then Clark super speeds home and he sees that, you know, Martha and Jonathan are like tied up in the barn.
It's nuts with like he bent metal around them to hold them up.
That sucks. And again, because this happened in proximity to the torch being trashed, while you're watching, like, oh, okay, well, yeah, these guys are trashing everything. I get it. But did they? We'll talk about that at the end. We cut the commercial, we cut back, you know, and Jonathan and Clark are cleaning up, and he's like, oh, your mother's doing all right, you know, the baby's fine, all that stuff. I'm like, oh, good, you know. But, you know, Jonathan is a man of action, you know. So I like the scene between Clark and Jonathan because, you know, it's decided that the kids should leave town for a while to keep them safe because obviously these guys, they know where they live, they've shown that they can beat them up if they want. They decide that Jonathan and Martha will leave, but Clark will stay behind and kind of deal with the problem because he's the only one who can, you know.
Right.
And Jonathan respects them for that, but he gives him a good pep talk. He's like, son, remember, you know, strength isn't your only ability, you know, use your other abilities to your advantage.
That was actually my favorite part of that episode because I really appreciated that he wasn't like, no, I want to protect you, you're my son. He was like, nope. Yeah, you're the only person who can do this. I appreciated that because I feel like that's always what people have to remind Superman of doing. It's weird.
Well, yeah, and it shows that there's been an evolution in Clark and Jonathan's relationship here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, back in season one, it was like, Clark, be careful, son. You know, I don't want you doing using your powers. And then he still comes back to that on occasion, but he knows when, like, look, Clark needs to go do this. Go do it. Right.
Right.
They do mention, though, that they might stay with Martha's father. Who I was like, oh, they did mention him again after Redux. I thought that was the only time they had mentioned him. But it's still in season two, right? So we're keeping the self-contained season two characters. Martha's dad, another season two character who appears here, never to be seen again. But he is mentioned here. So I was like, oh, okay. I think they mentioned him again in a Suspect, because I think Martha was like, oh, we're gonna get my dad to defend you, like, as a lawyer. He's like, no. So I thought, that must be the last mention. But no, it was here. They mentioned him again. So I was actually very, very impressed that they went back to that. Well, it's a logical thing to say.
I didn't even think about that. Well, I'm glad they put in their effort for that.
Yeah, that's right. Continuity win. Woo. So then Clark goes to Luther Mansion to talk to Lex about what's going on. Because he's figured out that Lex must be the one that bailed out Eric. And now we get a plus one for blue shirt, red jacket. It's because Clark is now in his pseudo Superman costume that he wears
yes.
forever, which is why I have a tally board category for it. But as Clark is prone to do, he storms in Luther Mansion and accuses Lex of doing something bad. Lex had no idea Clark was connected to this at all, so he genuinely feels bad about it. Like, his parents are beat up. He's like, oh, is everybody okay? You know, Lex, this is not him feigning. Later on in the series, he'll feign, right? He'll feign concern, as Lionel does, right? they devise this plan to, because, you know, there's obviously an inside guy that's giving them the heads up of Eric and his guys, right? To get the Kryptonite trucks. Kryptonite, keep calling them trucks, they're vans. Kryptonite vans. And they decide that, okay, Lex has some contacts with the corpse still. We're gonna put a fake word out that a shipment's coming. We're going to trap him with the police and Lex's security team and all this stuff, you know.
Right.
And so they concoct this whole thing. And Lex is on the radio with people. And they're like, all right, we're going to take him down here and there. And radio, cell phone, whatever, right? But surprise, somebody knocks Lex out from behind. And it's Clark. So that's a plus one to a knockout. To keep Clark's secret, because what this is, he's knocked Lex out so he can, like, save the day without being interfered with. So that's a knockout to keep Clark's secret, in my book. At least I think so.
I agree.
So now that Lex is unconscious, Eric and his goons show up to seal the van, and they're going to open up the back and think they'll get their next load of kryptonite, but they don't. Who's in it but Clark? Again, though, he's outnumbered, because there's three of them. And one of Clark, and there's kryptonite around, but just a little bit, just like the inhalers, you know. This is a pretty good... It's a pretty good fight. You know, I must say, Smallville, the problem with a lot of Smallville finales, or just climaxes of episodes is, you know, Clark has super strength and speed and all this stuff. A lot of these people don't. So we can't really fight people very much.
I was thinking about that a lot during this episode, like how he just has to, like, let himself be taken away or let people think that, you know, I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's satisfying, like, just for the character, like, okay, I got to think more than just my fists. And then also, like, as an audience to watch, like, an actual throwdown, not just Clark picking somebody up, throwing them 30 feet into a wall, they get knocked out, and that's the end of the episode, right?
Right.
But they surround him. Eric has, like, a pipe. These other guys are just looking very intimidating. But Clark, you know, he minds his surroundings, so Ra's al Ghul will be proud. And he looks up. He sees these pipes just hanging from the ceiling. Because you gotta love that, right? You gotta love just this industrial environment, just stuff hanging around and all that stuff. He uses his heat vision to collapse the pipes onto one guy. He super speeds over to the second guy, picks up one of those pipes, wraps it around him, and then throws him, like, you know, 30 feet. And then it comes to Eric over here. So Eric, he throws down his pipe, and then he goes and picks up, like, a cinder block, right?
Yeah, with, like, some rebar sticking out of it or something.
But I don't know what he thinks that's going to accomplish, you know? Like,
Yeah, didn't you already try to hurt this guy one time, like, and it didn't work?
You tried to throw him into a furnace, you know? Like, what did you... I mean, they don't know Clark's an alien, man. I guess they just think he's just another guy in Smallville with some powers and whatever.
Yeah.
I was talking about how awesome this throwdown fight was. The actual ending of it isn't that impressive, because after Eric smashes the cinder block on Clark just throws him into some pipes, and he, you know, game over, right? Yeah. But it was good, though. There was some good action, some good destruction, and I enjoyed it. And they cut to you know, presumably the next day, and Clark has Pete burying some kryptonite out by a tree in the forest. Now they do a and this is smart too, right? It's like when Batman collects off the kryptonite for Superman in the future. I mean, Pete's not affected by kryptonite; he knows the secret. Doesn't want to make his middle-aged parents go do this, so Pete does it.
Yeah, I thought that was a good, like, bro move. It was really nice.
Absolutely. And then they do, like, a almost like a Jurassic Park thing with the with the shaving cream. Like, you know, like, they walk away from this tree stuff, and they kind of, like, zoom in on it, right? And I'm like, are they gonna come back here
about that? It's like, what is this?
Like, are you setting something up for the future? Because it's just you stay on the shot just a little longer. Yep. And I don't believe this particular batch of kryptonite ever comes back. But, I mean, there's plenty to go over. And that's the thing about kryptonite. Some episodes, they act like it's everywhere. It's getting everywhere. We had to shut down this church and this factory because there was kryptonite everywhere, right? And yet we have like such, oh no, someone stole our kryptonite. We have to get it back. You know, like Lex, like that's the great thing between Lex and Lionel. They're having this interplay. Lex is like Lionel tells him like, I would just want my property returned. You know, like they're so worried about getting the kryptonite back, but that's the whole premise of this show is it's everywhere. But, we go to Luther Mansion and, Lex and Clark, cheers to some orange juice, which I just thought was a random choice of beverage for them having at this time. I guess it's the morning, perhaps the weekend, who knows, but
yeah, who knows what time it is.
But you know, they're broing out, they're debriefing about everything. Lex Clark says, hey, congrats, your plan went off without a hitch. And Lex says, no, my security people weren't involved at all. Clark's like, who do you think did it? Lex says, I have my suspicions. And he gives Clark a kind of like a wry smile. It's like, does he think Clark did it? Does he think his dad did it? Because I don't know. Like when Lex says that, I guess we're supposed to think he thought it was Clark, but that's a whole, who knows? But this is where we are with the relationship right now. And it's interesting. It's dynamic. It's good. So then we cut back to the Talon, and Henry has come back to talk to Alana. She had called him to talk about something important. And
of course,
you know, and this is what I was saying earlier. Sometimes these small episodes have plots you could take out and put in any episode. Other than like the parallel that Lana drew between Henry and his wife and Lana, and then of course Clark and Chloe, that works, you know. But yeah, that's just a very small thread, right? Tangential. My vocab's escaping me. Very tangential thread, right?
Oh, tangible?
No, not tangible, but it's like on the fringes, you know, like a
tangential.
Tangential, there's the word. Thank you,
Nancy. Okay, I was like, is that even a word? As I was saying it. Sometimes language sounds weird if you say it too many times.
That's what it is. So anyway, that's a very tangential thread, you know. And yeah, the episode could have done just fine without that. We could have removed this Lana plot, put it in another episode, given it more focus in its own episode, because maybe, you know what, let's give Lana her A plot that doesn't revolve around being stalked or something around Clark, you know, maybe just her family. I mean, maybe they didn't think the viewers would want that, but again, as I say every week, this is the WB and the CW, so most of the other shows are that already, so why not, right?
That's fair. Yeah, that's true.
You know, it doesn't fit, it's just kind of there. Like, if it was gone, you could have gotten more screen time with, you know, Eric and his goons, you know, but that could be a bad thing. Maybe the reason they work so well is they use just enough, right? Because I think back to episodes like Kinetic with those dude bros, and they are the worst, and they're like the focus of the episode. It's the only Whitney focused episode, so it's all this jock talk and all this stuff. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe they learned their lesson there. Like, let's just pull back and not have as many scenes with these guys.
play to their strengths.
So all that to say, we have this scene here with Henry and Lana, and they're talking about Lana's basically saying that, you know what, I think you should spend more time with your wife, which is kind of a weird thing for her to say, right? And I love his response. It's like, Lana, things aren't that bad between us. Like, what a terrible defense, right?
Well, I was like, I wrote down, I was like, why is Lana being so nice? She's sitting here helping her father handle his adult emotions while he's not making any attempt to help her with her own. Like, he's the adult. He should be it's not her job to comfort him. Ugh. I rolled so hard. I wrote, what a crappy dad. Like, I'm sorry. That's crappy. Like, you don't sit here and listen to your teenager and be like, oh, it's not that bad. And then she's like, she was talking to her divorce lawyer. His face, the crestfallen look.
I should get a screenshot of that. I really should. Because he's like, Lana, it's not that bad. He's like, Henry, she's hired a divorce attorney. And he's like, what? It's like, dude, get a grip on your own life. You know, I mean, the problem is not, honestly, you know what? His wife shouldn't have as big as a problem with it as she does. But you know what? The fact is, she does, right? So he should, like, adjust accordingly, right?
Yeah.
He has no, I guess, balance in his life. That's the problem. Like, if he could just balance out this stuff a little better, maybe Lana wouldn't be upset, his wife wouldn't be upset. But he's basically what it comes down to here is like, look, apparently you only have enough time in your life for either your wife or me, and you should try to salvage your marriage. So, you know, go do that, and when you get that settled, we can spend some time together. That's basically what the resolution was, which is like a terrible resolution, you know, and she's like, I'll still be here. He's like, oh, okay. And by the way, I expected like a hug or something.
Yeah, there's nothing. He just walks out. Thanks for letting me off the hook.
He gets up like he's late for his Uber or something, you know?
Yeah, like, oh, crap, they already texted me.
I'm getting charged already. And that is the end of Henry Small and the end of his corduroy jacket, which I was so amused to find that I share this corduroy jacket. You've seen my corduroy jacket.
I have.
And that's like my thing, you know. I wear it with anything. And it goes well with everything. And, you know, I was just shocked to see Henry Small has my same corduroy jacket, and he wears it in almost every episode he's in. So that's the end of the corduroy jacket as well on Small. I doubt anyone else will be bringing that look back. But so that's the end of Henry Small.
I cannot believe that's the end. Wow.
Well, for a character, again, with so much buildup, such a big part of the second, you know, at this point in the show, in the hierarchy of the show, Lana's the second build character, right? This is her biological father. They wrote this whole subplot around her because Lex had a lot of stuff with his father this season. Clark's finding out about his Kryptonian heritage this season. They wanted Lana to have a parallel plot line, right? So they said, oh, okay, we'll do this whole thing with her biological father. So they created it for this purpose, and I feel like they either thought it wasn't working and they dropped it, or I feel like they should have tried harder. Like, it didn't hit on all cylinders, but again, I feel like it just scratched the surface, and if they actually would have spent a little more time trying to get something out of it, maybe they wouldn't have felt the need to just write him off after just a few episodes with a terrible goodbye. Like, not even a hug. Not even, like it seemed to me, even when they were doing this, they left the door too open for a return. It's almost asking for a return.
Right? Especially if it wasn't going to happen. Like, that's so weird.
Like, as someone who has not seen this show, and you're like, oh, this is the end of season 2, there's 8 more seasons, I'm sure this character comes back at some point.
That is absolutely what I thought. I thought, okay, that is a really crappy way to, like, leave their relationship hanging. And I was like, man, I guess they'll come back and, like, address that. Like, I totally thought that would be something they go back and address. Like, oh, hey, like, Jennifer wants to talk. Like, she realized, you know what I mean? Like, some sort of development. Nope. Right.
Nope.
Wow.
So another season 2 character that disappears, never to be seen again. We got Lucas Luthor, Lex's brother. We have, I forget his name, but Mr. Clark, Martha's dad. We have Henry Small. Lana's dad, and we have Tyson the horse from Visitor, who they made such a big deal about, and we never see him again either. So anyway, I had those 4 characters to the Mount Rushmore of Smallville's Forgotten. So
I like that it's a Mount Rushmore.
Someone please, can someone make a Photoshop of that? Because I don't have the time or the ability right now. But if somebody wants to make a Photoshop of Mount Rushmore, I want a horse, Tyson the horse from Visitor. I want Henry Small. I want Lucas Luthor from Prodigal. And I want Mr. Clark for me, Ducks. Let's see it, people. Let's see, Smallville fans.
That sounds amazing.
I would love to see it. I don't know if anyone has the time or inclination to do it, but it would be so awesome. And I'll send you a free t-shirt. So.
Yay, t-shirt. I'm just thinking about the Mount Rushmore now. I'm going to be thinking about that later. It's just funny.
And one of them is a horse. And again, near the end of season 2 here, they're mixing up the formula a bit, because we get this scene with Lana and Clark in the barn, and it's kind of a wrap-up scene, and she's talking about, you know, how things went with Henry and this and that, but she's still going to go in the horse competition because there's still people that care about her that can come see it, and that's Clark. And, you know,
and she'll disappoint the horse, Donatello.
Donatello, right. It's like, who are you, a Ninja Turtles fan with these horse names?
I'm sure Clark named that poor horse.
Now, Donatello, he was not an artist, right?
No.
Because it was always like the Ninja Turtles were.
So.
The Ninja Turtles were 3 artists and then one other random guy. Because it was Michelangelo, Raphael, Leonardo, right? And then Donatello.
Sure that, yeah.
If we're wrong, I'm sure Lance will let us know immediately.
He was a sculptor.
Donatello?
Yes.
Did you look that up just now?
Just now. I was like, I don't know if that's right or not.
See, because something in my back of my mind, like, said maybe he did something, like, he wasn't an artist, like a painter, but maybe he did something else. Because I remember dropping that trivia in the past and someone trying to refute it, and I didn't, it was before, like, smartphones, so we couldn't immediately have an answer to all questions, so we actually had to have a conversation with people. But now we don't. Problem solved, Nancy, so we're done here. Okay, Donatello, he's an artist.
Good.
So, seriously, like, we need to have more horses. I wanted to hear other 3 horses with their color-coordinated saddles. You know, that'd be so
right,
great.
Right, though?
So, yeah, Lana's going to go in the horse competition because you don't want to let down Donatello the horse after all that training. What a waste it would be. So, in a lesser episode of Smallville, this would be the last scene, right? This would, we'd have the pop music, you know, and that would be the end. But, in the end of season 2 here, they're switching up. So our final scene is not that scene, not the WBS, CWS scene between the 2 romantic leads of the show, the ship you're supposed to be rooting for. But right. The last scene here is between Chloe and Lionel. And Lionel has come to the torch. He's told her that Luthor Corp is going to donate for the repair and upgrade of the torch offices. And Chloe, of course, is just beside herself. But she's like, doesn't even know how to take this because it's the billionaire, right, showing up, who she just met just a couple days ago. They kind of had an interesting first encounter. She didn't expect, I mean, and the Luthers are not known for their generosity either, right? So,
right, yeah, no.
It's kind of a red flag, but she's kind of at her bottom right now, so she's going to take any help anywhere she can get. Like she told Clark, she's going to look for a friend. Lionel just came around at just the right time, found her at her most vulnerable, right?
As they seem to do, yeah. Those types.
So I love, first of all, this is a start. It's a short arc, but it's like dark Chloe, right? Because she's wearing black here, something we've never seen Chloe do before. Did you find it too on the nose that she was like wearing black and now entering this deal with the devil, so to speak?
Yes, I did.
Well, if there's one thing this show is not subtle about, it's costuming, okay? So
they're like, this is the only way we can telegraph hidden stuff. So yeah, I can see that.
But Lionel's kind of taking it all in. He looks at the wall of weird. He's like, this is an interesting display. And he sees, you know, there's a
big the wall of weird.
Yeah, there's a big picture of Clark on there. See, everybody has their own wall of weird. Lex has a wall of weird. Chloe has a wall of weird. You know, Lionel has a safe of weird. You know, Lex has a room of weird, I should say. But anyway, all these eccentrics, right? He goes on to tell Chloe that, you know, he's admired her work and she has a unique viewpoint and he thinks it should be shared with more people. So he has some pull with the Daily Planet, and he's promised that he could maybe get her a column there in the future for her unique perspective on things, her alternative ideas and opinion. So this is like exactly what Chloe wants to hear, right?
Which is why you should immediately be suspicious that
yeah, exactly. I mean, she even says, I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth, but what's going on here? But again, if she wasn't so jaded and broken right now, she probably would have been a little smarter about this, but
because she normally is, yeah, right? So this is really unusual for her,
right? And just the evil smiles that Lionel gives her this whole time, it's just like, man, it's such a red flag. But it's great. Like on paper, it's like, oh, great, this guy's gonna repair the torch. I'm gonna get a call on the Daily Planet. I mean, this is amazing. So it starts, you know, gives her a card, and this starts out their very long and interesting relationship for the rest of the series. And but my favorite moment in this is when we realize what has truly happened here, and shows you what a genius, like Machiavellian, how Machiavellian Lionel Luthor is. Because Chloe's talking about how, yeah, it's weird, Eric and his guys, by the way, who aren't talking, they're not saying anything. Lex established for this earlier. They're not talking about Clark. They're not talking about anything. Again, I don't understand why they wouldn't whistleblow Clark for being superhuman, right? You think they would? But that's the problem on Smallville. You can't kill all the guest stars or knock them all out or put them all in comas. So that's just gonna happen. But Chloe's talking about all the things that they did: burglary, felony, you know, all these things, and she's confused that they would admit to all those, but they denied trashing the torch, right? Destruction of school property.
Yes.
And Lionel says, well, it's not easy to understand the criminal mind, which is brilliant dialogue, right? Because clearly he's the criminal mind here, because he trashed the torch to put Chloe in a spot of vulnerability so he could swoop in and get this connection with her. I'm like, oh, this is so good. This is such villainy, and I love it so much.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It was obvious after that. I was like, oh, yeah, it was definitely. Because, I mean, he's such a... those kind of people always make the situation advantageous for them. They don't just, like, swoop down on something. Especially not someone as villainous and as good at being a villain as Lionel.
Yeah, and what was so cool about it was you didn't see this, like, twist coming out of some huge twist or anything, but it all kind of lined up. Those guys have been trashing stuff. Eric made a comment about the paper and all that stuff. So, like, you're like, oh, okay, well, this is what happened. These guys were doing their thing, which is collateral damage to all this stuff that was going on, but it wasn't. You know, it was Lionel just strategically doing a specific thing to position himself for later on down the road. So
right.
So good.
Miss Sullivan.
Mr. Luthor.
Principal told me you might be here. I hope I'm not interrupting you.
No, I mean, I've never entertained a billionaire before. You'll have to excuse the distraction. I was recently vandalized.
So I heard. By the same men who hijacked my truck, I think.
Actually, there's still a question. Eric Marsh owned up to the robbery of the truck and the assault, but he said he didn't have anything to do with the torch. I mean, why confess to the heavy crimes and deny that?
Well, it's not easy to understand the criminal mind. What's this? This is an interesting display.
I call it the Wall of Weird?
I'll come to the point, Miss Sullivan. I'd like to help you rebuild. I've instructed the Luther Corp Foundation to make a donation to your school, the fund specifically earmarked toward rebuilding and updating the journalism department.
Mr. Luther, I'm confused. I mean, the struggling editor in me wants to just leave it at thank you, but the journalist in me has to ask why.
I'm impressed with your willingness to explore alternative ideas, options. You interned at the Daily Planet this summer, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, I have a little influence there. They certainly could use some new blood. Maybe a column to introduce your unique point of view.
I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth, but I don't understand why the most powerful man in the city is interested in helping me.
We're after the same thing, Miss Sullivan. The truth. You know, journalists are the midwives of history. Perhaps, with my help, we could make history together.
Witness got a 7.9 out of 10 on IMDb, and Neil Bailey on the Superman homepage gave it a 2 out of 5, which was extremely low in my opinion.
Wow, really?
Yeah, because he gave Precipice a 5 out of 5, which I thought was too high. I am not in alignment with him on either of those scores. But so the question goes to you, Nancy. What would you rate Witness?
Witness!
Witness! Witness!
I feel like I would probably give it, let's see. I really did like the Lionel and Chloe scenes a lot. Those are really good. I mean, I guess I feel like my opinion is rather arbitrary since I'm not a huge fan, but I'd probably give this a B.
A B, okay.
Maybe a B, B minus, maybe. Kind of in that middle spot there. I don't really know, like, what's an A? Is this an A episode for you?
For me, I'm probably going to go with an A minus.
Oh, okay.
And I know that's
not that far off.
That's really strong, I know. And
No, it's just more like I don't have anything to gauge, like, what you think. Well,
I'd forgotten so much. I'd forgotten that Clark quit the torch. I'd forgotten a lot of the details about Henry Small's departure, you know. So maybe it's just it's almost like a new episode to me in some ways. Because it's one that gets kind of lost in the shuffle. It's not a big mythology episode. It's not like Krypton stuff in here, you know.
Right.
But the Lex and Lionel stuff is so good, and the Chloe and Lionel stuff is so good. That really elevates it. And then, again, I feel like this episode takes the premise of you have young Clark Kent in Smallville with superpowers. Let's put him in a situation that's challenging to him. I think that really capitalizes on that concept, you know.
And
yes, they're kryptonite freaks of the week, but they're not like it wasn't like, this guy got freezing powers this week, so now he's going to freeze people, and Clark has to stop. It's like, no, this guy was like a chemistry guy, and he knew some stuff, and they're using kryptonite as a performance-enhancing drug, you know, as topical as that was in the 2000s, right? They could have gone other ways with it. They could have fleshed it out a little bit more if they had moved that Lana subplot to another episode, but I just really enjoyed it, and there was good action in it, you know, Clark having to, you know, actually getting to throw down with people, and then having to use his brain, having to use his mind, not being able to just throw people 30 feet, so...
I agree.
I'm singing its praises here, but I'm going to go with A-, and then what's your final score then?
I think I'm still going to stick with the B-. I'm going to try not to... I'm one of those people where if I like something, I just, like, go crazy, like, I loved that! So I'm trying not to...
Well,
try not to do that here.
As you've all heard on this podcast, I can be extremely critical, maybe sometimes too critical of this show, but it's my favorite, and that's what fanatics do, because fan is short for fanatic.
Yes.
yes. So I might have been a little too harsh on Precipice, but I might be a little too loving towards Witness. But you know, it's just how it all comes out in the wash, right? So.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It all comes out in the middle. It'll be fine.
it'll be fine, guys. Here,
it'll all be fine. It'll be okay.
So our last bit of business here is our series tally board, and
yes.
We have a plus one for a hospital visit, and that's going to be 26 hospital visits in 41 episodes.
Dang.
We have a plus one for our blue shirt red jacket because Clark's wearing that. We're at 8 so far. And then we're at a plus one for our knockouts to keep Clark secret, because Clark knocked out Lex, I guess just like karate chopped in the back of the neck or something. I don't know. But
I love that that's a category. It's great.
The numbers are going to be so high. We are at 14 right now. 14. But like when other characters show up, who you know, because people slowly learn Clark's secret as time goes on, right? But other characters show up and they got to get knocked out, excuses for them to miss stuff, you know. It's going to be crazy, but nothing, I dare say nothing will top the hospital visits. Like we're going to have over 100 hospital visits in, if not more.
In
this show. I guarantee it, but and then we have our Bechdel test, and this episode's going to have to be a fail, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking, I'm running it back through. Yes, because, oh my God, even when Lana and Jennifer are talking, it's about a dude. So yeah.
I thought, oh, well, they're talking about not a mutual romantic interest, but no, that's not the point. The point is just talking about a guy in general. That sucks,
because it maybe could have, just a little bit, could have passed.
All right, Nancy, well, it's been fun. I hope you enjoyed your Home Improvement 2-pack this season on the show.
I really did.
Now, if people want to find you out there on the internet, where can they find you?
Oh, goodness. I mean, I guess you can find me trying to be a little more active on Twitter, but it's difficult because that's kind of a rabbit hole. If I get back into that, I won't do anything else. But you can find me on Twitter at Dasmoosh, DASMOOSH. And other than that, I'm not really anywhere very much these days.
All right. Well, as for me, you can find me personally at MoronZach on Twitter. That's MoronZach. And I'm also the host of another podcast called Standard Orbit. We're on the Trek FM network. We talk about the original series of Star Trek, pretty much every venture of Captain Kirk is fair game for us. Old Star Trek, new Star Trek, animated Star Trek. We talk about it all. So we're at the Trek FM network. You can find us on Twitter at Trek FM or on Facebook at Trek FM. And as for this podcast, you can find us on Twitter at Always Mallville with one S. You can find us on Facebook at Always Hold On to Smallville. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. We are going to take a brief detour from Smallville. And if all goes according to plan, our next episode will be a review of the season finale of Supergirl. Nevertheless, she persisted. Yes, they're getting political with the titles.
Really? Ooh.
Stronger Together was also an episode title in the past of Supergirl. But so you should be watching Supergirl, Nancy.
I clearly should be. Gosh.
You know, Superman returns. No pun intended or whatever that is. You know, Superman returns in the season 2 finale of Supergirl. So, you know, being a Superman podcast, we've done some Superman specials in the past. We covered the episodes... the first two episodes of season 2 with Superman was in with my friend Craig Byrne from Krypton Site, and we'll be getting back together to have another conversation about that. That episode has now aired, so it's free to discuss. So our next episode will be a Superman special talking about the season 2 finale of Supergirl, that being a Superman episode. So stay tuned for that next time. But until then, folks, always hold on to Smallville. And it could be a shame. To wake up, if you forgot to wake up, please don't be afraid. It's safe enough to wake up. A second to spare, I don't care. And it would be a shame if you were not to wake up, if you forgot to wake up. You don't have to be afraid. It's safe enough to wake up.